So let's turn in our Bibles together to Galatians and chapter 1. Last week we began a new series of reflections looking at Galatians under the heading of transformation. That's what this letter very much is about. The difference that the Lord Jesus Christ makes in our lives. In fact, in the lives of everyone and anyone who turns to him in faith. And as you see, I'm going to read from verse 6 down to verse 12. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Let's just pause for a moment and pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for the Bible. Father, thank you that as we read it, mysteriously but wonderfully, you speak deep into our hearts. Truths about yourself, truths about ourselves. Truths about your love and our need for you. Father, we pray that today there may be a deep sense of consolidation in our walk with you, a reaffirmation by us of our faith and our trust in you, a determination that we will cling to you whatever else happens. Father, would you pour out your Spirit upon us and help us to have ears, not just to hear my words, but ears, Father, to somehow hear your whisper speaking to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today I'm going to talk about, well, I've put the heading up, Good News Gospel, and really I'm just repeating myself, gospel is good news. What are we talking about when we think about gospel? The Apostle Paul here in this particular passage talks about the gospel, and he's very strong in his emphasis here in these verses. He says, I am astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. And then he says, which is no gospel at all. He's utterly dismissive of this other message that is being given. And it appears that Paul and his companions have been to Galatia and they have announced the gospel of Christ. It then appears that there have been others who have come and perhaps they have corrected the gospel, or they've slightly emphasized one part of the gospel over another. And in doing so, Paul says, have perverted the gospel completely. And so he expresses this extraordinary astonishment. What's happened to you? Did you not understand the gospel the first time it was given to you? It is not to be changed. It to be understood, taken deep into your heart, and then lived by. And today, as we reflect just for a few minutes on the gospel and why it is so important, it may be that God will speak to your heart. It might be that God will speak to your heart this morning in a deep way. Remind you of the gospel that perhaps once, in a sense, you signed up to. And it might be that you've let it drift. And it may be that after the service, there'll be Derek and Audrey at the front offering prayer. And it may be that you feel the need just to come up and say, look, would you help me? Would you pray for me? Maybe that you want to turn to somebody else and ask for prayer. And that spiritual and emotional support for you as you seek to recommit your life to the gospel. It might be this morning that you hear, in a sense, the gospel clearly for the first time. And you need to give your life afresh to Jesus. So what are we to say when we think about what the gospel is? Where do we turn if we want to say, well, this is the gospel? If somebody comes up to us and says, thrusts a Bible in your hands. That's a good idea, isn't it? If somebody came up to you and thrust a Bible in your hand and say, okay, tell me from here, where is the gospel? What is the gospel? And there's all sorts of different places we can turn. And one good place to turn is to Acts chapter 2. The reason why it's good to turn to Acts chapter 2 is because we have had the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all recording their perspective on the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, we have the Apostle Peter standing up and declaring the gospel, the good news about Jesus, explaining Jesus to the crowd. And as part of that, this is what he says. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. So one of the places we could turn is here to Acts chapter 2, because that's when the Apostle Paul, in terms of chronology, Jesus has lived, died, been raised, exalted to heaven. Paul, it appears to be the first public opportunity to declare to people what Jesus is about. What is the good news concerning Jesus? Let me highlight just a couple of things here. The first thing is that, can you see that? Put him to death by nailing him to a cross. Peter wants to emphasize this Jesus was crucified. He died by crucifixion. Secondly, let me emphasize, but God raised him from the dead. So death and resurrection, as you might expect, in an announcement of the gospel, there is death and resurrection there that are highlighted. But there's one other thing in this passage that perhaps we pass over and ignore. But can I highlight it? It's up there. I've underlined it as well. You see it? God's deliberate plan. I wonder how many of us would say, in telling somebody else the gospel, what you need to understand is that it was God's deliberate plan. Jesus died at the hands of wicked men. He was crucified. It looked like it was the end, but God, in his power, raised him from the dead. The power of God's love was placed into Jesus, and he was raised from the dead. But this is not an accident. It wasn't a fluke. It wasn't some mysterious quirk of physics. This is God's deliberate plan. And it may be that Paul, when he went to Galatia, emphasized these three things. That he said to the people, look, Jesus was crucified. He died on a cross. God raised him from the dead. But all of this is God's deliberate plan. In no way was it an accident or a fluke or a mistake or coincidence or anything like that. We have death, resurrection, and God's plan. Now, some of you may be saying, well, Acts chapter 2, that's great. Where else would we turn in the New Testament if we wanted to tell somebody what the gospel was. And one other place we could turn is to 1 Corinthians 15. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 expresses, again, the gospel, the good news about Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. So even as Paul writes this letter to the church at Corinth, he's saying, I'm going to remind you in this letter of the gospel I preached to you when I came to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain. Then he says, for what I received, I passed on to you. Let's just stop there for a moment. What I received, I passed on to you. He's saying, I'm going to remind you in this letter what I preached to you when I came to Corinth. But what I preached to you when I came to Corinth, it wasn't original to me. I had received it from others. And so you might think, you know, we're almost getting back, almost literally, to the time of the death and resurrection of Jesus. This isn't Paul, a little time afterwards, hearing the gospel just for himself and proclaiming it. He's saying, look, it's dependable. I heard it from the apostles. Early on, I heard this gospel. What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And you might already have spotted. What do we have here? Well, we have a reference to gospel again. By this gospel, you are saved. And what other word have I highlighted? If. You know, we have this idea, and I was brought up with this idea, that you just have to believe once, and that's it. You are saved for eternity. And then when you read the Bible, you discover maybe that's not quite true. The Apostle Paul is very clear here. By this gospel, you're saved. If you hold firmly to the word. It's not just believing when I was 12. It's about living in that belief. It's holding to the good news about Jesus, the gospel. If you hold firmly to the word I preached. So we have Paul emphasizing this is the gospel. This is the good news announcement about Jesus. Just went backwards there. But what do we have? You probably spotted it. Christ died for our sins. Again, as in Acts 2. Again, here in 1 Corinthians 15. And again, he was raised on the third day. What else do we have here? Okay. There we go. According to the scriptures. And again, according to the scriptures. So we could go back to Acts 2. We could come to 1 Corinthians 15. Again, we see the same three things that are emphasized. In Acts 2, death on a cross, raised from the dead. It was all part of God's plan, not a quirk of fate or an accident or anything like that. God was in this. He understood what was going on. In 1 Corinthians 15, we have Christ died for our sins. We have he was raised from the dead. We have it was according to the scriptures. And so when the Apostle Paul says to the Galatians, I'm astonished that you've turned away from the gospel that I proclaimed to you, that somebody has come in and suggested, no, you haven't got it quite right. You need to emphasize this bit or ignore that bit or it's all wrong altogether. The Apostle Paul says, no, you know, let them be eternally condemned. That is not the gospel I announce to you. So you could go to Acts 2, you could go to 1 Corinthians 15, you could go elsewhere, but let's go to Galatians. We're reading Galatians. Remember last week when we read from the beginning of Galatians? Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What do we have? You've spotted it, haven't you? As we go through. Who gave himself for our sins. 1 Corinthians said he died for our sins. So we have that again. What else have we got here? Who raised him from the dead. So once again, we have death of Christ for our sins. We have resurrection from the dead. But what else have we got? Spot it? Yeah. According to the will of our God and Father. Now, again, we might not think, oh, that's not an important thing. But it seems to be repeated time and time again. Whenever the gospel is announced at the beginning of this letter, Paul affirms the gospel. He speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the one who died by crucifixion for our sins at the hands of wicked men. But God, in his love, in his power, raised him from the dead. But this is not a mistake or an accident. This is by the plan of God. So there we have Acts 2, death, resurrection, God's plan. 1 Corinthians 15, died for our sins, raised according to the scriptures. And here in Galatians 1, gave himself for our sins. We know that's through death, raised from the dead, and according to the will of God. Now we have all that. It's a reminder to us, when Paul went to Galatia, what was the gospel that he was announcing? It wasn't unique to him. He wasn't the only one announcing this gospel. The other apostles, other evangelists, would be saying the same thing. Essentially, he died on the cross for our sin. God raised him from the dead. All of this is according to the scriptures. It's according to God's plan. Now, what does Paul then say? I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. And the question immediately comes up. Well, why are they turning to a different gospel? What is it about this gospel? This announcement about Jesus, simple, straightforward, profound, yes, deep. But what is it about this gospel that means that other people have come and distorted it? What is it that has meant that the believers in Galatia have thought that it was a good thing, an attractive thing, to begin following another version of the gospel, which Paul says is no gospel at all? Why turn to a different gospel? And we can point that question at ourselves. What is the gospel that we hold to? What is the gospel that we hold to? What is central in terms of our following after Jesus? If somebody said, a friend, a neighbor, said, just tell me, what is the gospel? In a nutshell, what is it? Could we say, not just with our words, it's about the death of Jesus for our sin, it's God's power, love, raising from the dead, and it's all part of God's plan. Could we say that not just with our words, but could somebody look at our lives and say, yeah, I could read that in you. I could somehow read something of the values of that. The mercy, the kindness, the generosity, the sacrifice of Jesus, the deep, powerful, profound love of God the Father. That confidence and security of walking in the plan of God. Would people see that in our lives? And why turn to a different gospel? Why did they turn to a different gospel? Why might we turn to a different gospel? And it might be understanding that the gospel has immense transformative power. And this is one of the astonishing things. It's always amazed me that the gospel can be announced simply, straightforwardly. And it has immense transformative power. It will change our lives. It will take anybody in the world receiving this news about Jesus, and it has the power to turn their lives completely upside down. The gospel has immense transformative power. And for some people, the gospel, with its transformative power, is just too challenging. It's just too challenging. For some people, we think we're losing out. By following what the gospel says, we think we're somehow losing out, missing out on what everybody else is doing. So we may be tempted away from the gospel. Or it might be that we want to reject the gospel because time and time again it says we're wrong. Now, what do I mean by that? Simply, It challenges our values and our ethos and the things that we live by. Sometimes the things that were passed on from grandparents to us, and we pass it on to our children. The gospel challenges us about our values. And without ever saying it, it just says, you know, communicates to us, you're wrong. The gospel is right. The life of Jesus is right, and your life is not. You are the one who needs to change. And you know how it feels. It sometimes feels really awkward, doesn't it? When you know you're wrong. You know you're the one who's going to have to change. Because what you're looking at and what you're hearing is right. And for some of us, it's very difficult to just be humble and say, okay, I give in. So it may be that people turn away from the gospel with its immense transformative power because it's too challenging. It's changing too much of me. Maybe because we think, oh, well, I'm losing out. Or it proves us wrong. It demands in us a change of character. And it demands a change of behavior. Now, it may be that the behavior is highlighted before we understand the change of character. It might be the character that's highlighted in us first. But this simple, straightforward, in a sense, unglamorous announcement. Jesus died on the cross for your sin. God, in his love, raised him from the dead. And all of this was part of God's plan for Jesus, for you, and for creation. It doesn't sound very clever, but it has a transformative power that I don't think I can see anywhere else. And it demands change of us. And my encouragement to us this morning is just to let that sit with us, to receive for us afresh the simplicity and straightforwardness of the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. And it may be that as we continue to be led in worship, we just, it confirmed in us, I just need to respond in some way. Maybe we need to respond with prayer. Maybe we need to go home and pray and talk to somebody, but we can make our response to God. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the gospel. And Father, we confess, even though we know the words and we can repeat it, Father, there's something about the gospel that is so profound, so wonderful, so extraordinary, we can't really get a grip on it. Father, thank you that this gospel, this announcement concerning Jesus, has such transformative power that for any one of us right now, if we just open our hearts to you, Father, thank you that you have the power to change us, to set us on the path again of transformation. May your blessing rest upon us as we do just that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me just put one more slide up. I want to finish just with this. I don't know if you recognize his picture. You may know him. He, I don't know, died in 1936 or something before the war. But he was a great Christian thinker. And he said this: the Christian gospel has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. Immensely profound.